as we continue our search, Christ Through the Bible, we find our first self on the first day of May 1 of 2016, Jesus, the Mediator Between God and Man, is what I titled it. And it started out in Job 9:33. As we go through it, you'll see that it went a lot of other places. I started playing with what the Bible says about these things and was amazed at how many scriptures just came flying onto my computer screen that had to deal with this topic. And is how we think about God important? Your concept, your vision of God, is that important? Do you think we in our generation of the church have the best or the correct vision of who God is? As I started playing with the idea of how would one reestablish, reinvigorate, revive a church, I think this is where you got to start with how you see God, how we personally view him. And so I'm not sure that in our culture, reading the Old Testament, reading the New Testament, that the church of 2016 has a good picture of who God is. And I'm not positive that we do. My outline, Jesus is the Mediator Between God and Man, starts out with God is holy. And if I was to ask any of you here, if you disagreed with that, very few are going to say, well, no, he's not holy. You know, but do we relate to him as if he really is? When you look at it from that side, people who are in church say, well, yeah, God's holy. But when we interact with him, when we relate to him, how we see him, I don't have a great deal of confidence that most of us in our generation see him like Old Testament people did. And I know of New Testament churches who don't even deal with the Old Testament because they don't want that view. They want just a New Testament church. So I went over the Old Covenant a little bit. God's original mediation with us was through the law. And then I end up at the New Covenant and how it impacts and affects us. So how do you see God in your mind? I don't know if you have to close your eyes to get a picture of him, but how do you see him? We'll start our search for Christ through the Bible in the oldest book in the Bible, Job. Job was written long before Moses penned Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Job is the oldest historical book in the Bible. It was written before all the rest. Is first important? Is being first important? Playing games with friends, you know, you always have a sleeper that sneaks in on you, and not being first is challenging. Is it important to be first? Is it important for us to try to be first? Are first impressions important? There's an old saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Is that true? When God shows us himself the first time, should we remember what he showed us about himself? I think there's a lot to learn about who God is in the book of Job. He shows us a lot about himself. I think part of the problem is things in our world change all the time. It seems like they're changing faster than they used to, but God does not change. The culture, the world we live in, controlled by Satan, changes so rapidly we think everything changes, but God doesn't. He is the same in Job as he is in Revelations, as he is now, and everything in between, and always will be throughout eternity. So in Job 9:32, it says, God is not a mere mortal like me, that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. Do you see that? Job, first talking about his relationship with God, said he's not like a human that you can talk to or go to court with or argue with about how things are. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me so his terror would not frighten me no more. Someone. From the very oldest book, we need someone. Now, I don't know how many churches there are where there are people in terror of a holy God today. I've done scary things in my life, a lot of them. Still doing this is one of the scariest things I ever do. I always have sweat running down the middle of my back. It just scares the wits out of me to do what I'm doing now. I do it anyway, but it's not because of you or me, it's because of him. Job 9:35, I would speak up without fear of him, but as it now stands with me, I can't. I can't even speak to him. I'm so scared. The book of Job shows us much about God and his creation of angels and humans. God is like no one or nothing else. If you got a picture of him in your mind being like somebody you know or something you've seen, then you probably don't have the right picture because he's not like anything that you see. God has a conversational relationship with his creation. That's obvious in Job. He administers his power through his creation. He gives limited delegated authority to angels and people. The famous conversation is his conversation with Satan and what he lets Satan do to a really nice guy, Job. He gives him limited authority. God's holiness and power are to be feared. Do we think of and see God as we should? Do we have the right respect for his holiness? From the oldest book in the Bible, we see there's a need for someone to be our mediator with God. From the first book of Job to the last book of Revelation, there's a courtroom. There's a negotiation about people. There's a judgment of people's lives. If you look at the first and the last and the books in between, there is all of this concept of a courtroom, of negotiations, of judgment. This is an ongoing process, and we need to be mindful of it. Do you want to go to God's courtroom alone or have a team to mediate with you? I would hope to hire the best lawyer possible, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I hope that they're on my team when I need them. So, God is holy. This fact is documented through the Bible in Exodus 3:5. Don't come any closer, God said. Take your sandals off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. He did that to Joshua a couple weeks ago. Being in God's presence is holy. You can't have anything in between him and Joshua 24:19. Joshua said to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord. He is holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. You don't get away with anything. Everybody has to pay. You can't do it perfect. He's holy, you're not. A on your outline, God is set apart to be revered, seen as sacred, and worthy of respect. When you think of holiness, it's set apart. It's revered. It's sacred. It's worthy of respect. Awe, fear, awe, trembling. How well do we do with this? Not just in our little church, in our generation. How well do we do it? Seeing God like that. Do you think the church today has kept this first impression of God? Or have we brought God down or ourselves up to we're more like even or equals? As I listen to the current praise music on the radio, there's a whole bunch of what the current authors are writing that make us even, equals with God. Bringing him down or us up to where we actually can bargain and mediate with him and be upset when he doesn't do things the way we like him to. I don't know if it's a good idea. He's holy God. He's a jealous God. He is right to command us to love him with all of our heart, mind, and strength. Not a divided, tacked on substitute, but all of it. All of it's his, and everything else should be the tack on. B, God is worthy of all worship, of his creation. We should worship God. It appears to me that much of God's creation does well at this. It seems that the humans are the only ones who fall short. When I look at the flowers bursting up and lifting their thoughts towards heaven, and I listen to the spring birds that have come back every morning when the sun comes up, they just sing the praises to the good Lord to let them survive through the night. It's just humans who have gotten cocky and arrogant and think we're God and don't worship him right. I think we should look at our hearts. In Samuel 1:2, it says, "There is no one holy like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." Psalms 47. God reigns over the nation. He's seated on a holy throne. Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord God and worship him at his footstool. He is holy. You bow on your knees before his footstool. You don't stand meet him eye to eye. Do you see God like Samuel? David had a good vision. Do we see God like David did? I don't know if we do. What do we need to do? What will you do? Will you change how you see God and how you relate with him? God never gets tired of hearing his creation say he's holy. This could be a good idea. It's an easy way to add to your prayer times. Add holy in there more often. Did the Lord's Prayer twice at my mom's funeral, and hallowed be thy name is what they say in the Lutheran version of the Lord's Prayer. But quite honestly, when I'm praying, I don't very often say holy, holy, or hallowed be your name. You? It would be an easy thing to add. It would be something that he likes, and maybe it would, in a very easy way, get us thinking right about him. In Revelations 4:8, each of the four living creatures had six wings covered with eyes all over and under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." When we get to heaven, we'll hear that. We'll join in saying, maybe we should be practicing it now. What do you think? So, the Old Covenant, God's first mediation was given us as laws. Before man sinned, there was this intimate personal relationship with God and his creation. That was how God had intended our lives to be with him. It can't be that way now because of sin. We're separated. After man sinned, he began a pattern of separating himself from man. Mankind was forced out of the garden, from his presence, had to leave paradise, had to go to work for a living. Sin separated us from God's holiness. Separated. Sin separated us. Whoops. God longed for his creation to be close to him, but purity required this separation. Holiness and sinfulness cannot be together. They must be separated. In Exodus 33:18, Moses said, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name in your presence." This is how he calls himself. "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you can't see my face, for no one can see me and live." That's a pretty awesome comment. Sometimes when we're singing current praise songs and the authors keep getting us to chant, "Oh, I want to see your face," over and over, it's like singing, "I want you to die." Saw a guy at the steel mill one time when the furnace burped and blew the whole front of his body off. He fell over backwards and all that was left was the back half of his fire retardant suit. That's the picture I see if you see God's face without the right introduction and mediator. It blows you off, literally, kills you. He's too holy, and we get so flippant in our generation. "Oh, I want to see you more. I want to see your face." No, you know, it'll kill you. Should we be content with God chose to reveal himself to us? Should we just be content, or should we be spoiled brats who keep asking for more? You tell me what you think is right. I think the first one is right. We should be content and thankful for what he reveals of himself, and we shouldn't be spoiled brats that are always crying for more, more, more in my way, in the way I want it to be. I don't want it to be like this. That's how I live a lot of the time. It's wrong. It's because I don't see him as holy and perfect as he really is. I got the wrong picture in my head. I need to rewrite it. B, God came to live with mankind. God's presence came to live in the holiest of holies in the tabernacle and then in the temple, but he actually came to live among men. But man could not approach the place only in God's pattern. The high priest could enter only offering innocent lamb as a sin sacrifice once a year. Any other attempts to come into the holiness of God would cause death. In Leviticus 16, 1 through 4, God spoke to Moses after the death of two of Aaron's sons who died when they approached the Lord. They went into the Holy of Holies with their own brand of incense, wanted to do it their way, killed them on the spot. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover of the ark, or else he'll die. For I will appear in a cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. You know, offering up a bull, that's a big deal. I mean, you get a half a beef, that's a lot, the whole thing. And then a ram too. I mean, that's a big deal. He put on his tunic, his linen undergarment next to his body, tie his sash around his head, put on his turban, all these sacred garments, but he must bathe first and wash with water before he puts on. That's why we take a shower before we come to church. No one but the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies. No one. Two of Aaron's sons died when they entered the holies with their own sacrifices to the Lord. The lesson for us to learn is how God says to do things and then obey. Do it God's way, not my way. And that doesn't really fit with the church culture that you and I are common with. It's my way. It's the way I want it to be, the way pleases me, the way that tickles me, the way that makes me happy, that makes me feel good, not God's way. I think we need to look at it. See, got to put a curtain between the holiness and mankind. A curtain. It was as thick as a man's hand with his fingers spread. It was that thick of woven material to keep you out of the presence of God. In no uncertain terms, to declare no further. What did 1,500 years of a curtain drape Holy of Holies communicate? Simple. God's holy, separate from us, unapproachable. God is holy, we're sinners. There's a distance between us. In 1 Samuel 2:25, Eli's sons, he said, if a person sins against another, God may mediate of the offender, but if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Eli's sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke. Unfortunately, that's what most people in the church culture today do. They do not listen to what God says. They, like Eli's boys, just want to do it the way they want to do it. Isn't that our problem? We know God's good. We know we're not, and we feel far from him. Isn't that the problem? The ancient words of Job are ours. I wish there was someone to make peace with us, but there is. Jesus hasn't left an unapproachable God. Yes, God's holy. Yes, we're sinful. But yes, 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 Jesus is now our mediator. So that's my third point, the new covenant. God came to mankind this time in Jesus. God's presence came to live in the middle of human beings. You might say he came to walk a mile in our sandals. God came to live and relate with us to completely understand and be able to mediate perfectly on our behalf. A, Jesus became our mediator. A mediator is one who goes between. He goes between us and God now. Wasn't Jesus the curtain between us and God? Wasn't his flesh torn on our behalf? What appeared to be the cruelty of man was actually the sovereignty of God. Ripping his body, tearing it with the cat of nine tails, that was him taking that separation of God, the curtain of God, ripping it in his own flesh on our behalf. In Matthew 27:50, when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. A couple of angels were big enough to grab a hold of that curtain at the top and rip that sucker in half top to bottom. Ripped it so hard there was an earthquake and parts of the temple fell apart. Now we're welcome to enter God's presence anytime, any day. God removed the barrier that separates us from him. But I don't think it should remove the picture of who he is when we get there. He lets us in now, but we should still respect him, obey him like the Old Testament. Not be flippant about this. Barrier of sin, down. It's been removed. Tore the curtain. In Galatians 3:15, brothers and sisters, take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is with our case. He's using a legal argument. You can't just decide you don't want to live by a contract that's been legally documented. You can't. It has to be changed. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say seeds, meaning many people, but your seed, meaning one person, who is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9:15, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive eternal promised inheritance. Now that he has died, his ransom is set free from sins committed under the first covenant. He's our mediator. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for people. This is how this has now been witnessed at the proper time. So that contract is done, it has been signed, it's been witnessed. In Hebrews 8:6, in fact, the ministry of Jesus has received is superior to theirs of the covenant, which he is a mediator, superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. So what was Jesus' promise to those who believed? Be on your outline, the Holy Spirit become one with us so that we might come to God. That was the promise, that the Holy Spirit would come to you. That's the promise of the Father. So we have Jesus seated in heaven next to the Father, mediating for us, and we have the Holy Spirit in us, helping us. In Acts 5:32, we are witnesses of these things. So the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us who obey him. What would one do to obey? New Covenant Church, what would we do to obey? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true act and proper act of worship. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with his spirit. It goes on in verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? So we have become the Holy of Holies now. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Or if you do see him without holiness, he'll blow your face off. Hebrews 12:23. You have come to God, the judge of all, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and sprinkled with blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. Can you see God looping around here to the first? Abel's blood offering in Genesis was the first accepted offering. Jesus' blood is the last accepted offering. In Genesis 4:3, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought fruit from the soil, an offering to the Lord. Abel brought an offering, fat portions from those of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked on favor on Abel and his offering. So, can you see Christ through the Bible in this? God accepted the sacrifice of the firstborn. First offering ever accepted, last offering ever needed is the life of the firstborn. The lamb and the Lord Jesus. C, we are to become mediators for others. You might notice that every one of your blanks when it comes to application, all of those are the same word, become. Not that we've already made it, man, woman. Paul, dying in prison, fought the fight really well, and he says, I still haven't got there. I still haven't obtained what's necessary. We are becoming, but we aren't yet. We need to work on this. We now are become like the Holy Spirit in us, like Jesus, our mediator. In 1 Timothy 2, I urge you, first of all, first thing to do, that your prayers and petitions of intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, the good guys, the bad guys, everybody, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful, quiet lives of goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases the Lord our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the first thing is you pray for everybody, not just the one you're like. Are there attitudes and actions that you sense the Holy Spirit encouraging you to change? Did you see something here that the Holy Spirit reminded you of that in your action or your attitude you could change? Are you willing to give yourself anew to the cause of Christ? Present your body as a living sacrifice. Are you truly thankful that Jesus is the mediator and the Holy Spirit do on our behalf? Are you thankful that we have this team of negotiators? I am. I would be in really big trouble without them. And I'm not sure that we in the church remember how holy God is and how thankful we should be for these team on our behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in awe and respect and love and thankfulness. So glad that you had all Job and John and all the way through the Bible writing out for us who you are and how we are to relate to you and respect and love. And we are so deeply humbled that your only boy would come and walk a mile in our sandals so he could relate to us and intercede for us now. I'm so thankful, sir, that you are on our team. I'm sorry I make you work so hard with all my mistakes. Pray that you'd help me do better at that. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Just wish that more and more I would give myself to you in a way that you showed up more and I showed up less. And I have that same prayer for everybody that's sitting here listening in the church and online, that our lives would become more and more like you because of our willingness to surrender to the awesome thing that you've done. We pray it all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.